of the Pastor's Study. Our study is going to take us today to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. We'll be looking at verses 23 to 25. Let's turn there right now. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Probably a very familiar passage to all of you out there listening. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The title of our study is What We Show When We Assemble Together. What we show when we assemble together. Christians often say, why does the preacher preach so much about being in church? I don't understand it. Well, one of the reasons is because Christians are not in church like the Lord would have them to be. Notice I said, the Lord wants the Christian to be in church. But the way some Christians talk, you would think that the preacher was picking on them, and that being in church was a requirement of the preacher and not the Lord. What I want us to look at on the Pastor's Study is why the assembling of ourselves together is so important. First of all, I want us to notice what it shows. Number one, the assembling of ourselves together shows commitment. The assembling of ourselves together shows commitment. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The Bible tells us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, hold fast means to keep sure. When we go to church, when we assemble together, we show commitment. When your neighbors see you leave out the house with a Bible tucked under your arm on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you are giving a testimony of commitment. When folks know enough not to try to reach you by telephone during this times, because they know you're in church, amen, it shows commitment. When you do this week in, week out, month in, year out, you show a testimony of commitment. Folks see that what you are committed to is not some fad or craze or just a stage of life that you're going through. No, you show honest and true commitment. You show a commitment to the cause and to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You show a commitment to a faith that says, in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You show a commitment to a faith that says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, not hope so or think so, but that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. You show a commitment to a faith that allows a person to know present tense where they're going to spend time in eternity, amen? And that's with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're committed to a faith that says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. You're committed to a faith that says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast, literally cast, into a lake of fire. The assembling of ourselves together shows commitment. It shows that you mean, and I mean, business for God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, but if any man love God, but if any man love God, the same is known to him. Going to church, assembling ourselves together, shows outly to others that you love God. Christians show their commitment for God by assembling together. The Christian's lack of commitment is evidenced by what it takes to keep them in church. Special activities and fellowships. In other words, There has to be something that will satisfy his old, vile, and wicked flesh to keep him coming, amen? Oftentimes, a Christian won't come out to church unless they're going to get something, amen? For example, full belly. A fellowship dinner, amen? Have a fellowship, amen? Have a fellowship dinner, and you'll see folks that you haven't seen for the last year, amen? Or maybe 5 years, amen? You have to have churches have entertainment by preachers who tell a lot of funny stories, but don't do a lot of Bible preaching, amen? We see in everything in our churches today, from clowns and puppets to musicians to Tootsie Rolls ice cream sundaes, just to get people in church, amen? The problem today, amen, with Christians, is they are more committed to their hobbies, their jobs, their families, their friends, their favorite sports, their television programs, or soap operas, than they are to Jesus Christ. So the assembling of ourselves together, what that shows, number one, is commitment. You're committed to the person of Jesus Christ. You're committed to the work of Jesus Christ. You are not afraid to be counted with Christ, amen. Number two, the assembling of ourselves together shows consideration. The assembling of ourselves together shows, number two, consideration. Notice again in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another." Let us consider one another. You know, we live in a day and an age that lacks good old-fashioned consideration. Very few today consider anyone anymore and how their actions is going to affect the other person, amen? The Bible tells us one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. This unfortunately includes Christians. Christians do not consider how not being in church affects their brothers and sisters in Christ. How their not being in church would be a stumbling block, especially to a newly saved Christian. Paul wrote in his epistle to the Romans, in Romans chapter 14, in verse number 13, "But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way." And how do you think it affects a newly saved Christian when someone who has supposedly been saved for many years stays out of church, isn't in church like they should be, amen? Isn't faithful to all of the service. You know, now we're getting away, well, if I make, you know, we have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Well, if I make half of the services, it's okay, God will understand, blah, blah, blah. No, the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, amen. And when we stay away, we affect the newly saved babes in Christ. And they start to think, well, hey, so-and-so who's been saved for 10 or 20 years isn't in church. Why do I have to be at every service? Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 reminds us of a very important point. "And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or when one member be honored, all members rejoice with it." You know, sometimes the devil tries to get us to think, well, we don't affect anyone around us. But you know what? We do. We're like a ripple effect. You know, when you throw a pebble or a little stone into a smooth surface of water, say a pond or a lake, and you watch that ripple, that one little pebble or one little stone has a great effect upon that water. Amen. The same way it is upon you and I as individual Christians. We have a great effect. We have a sphere of people around us that we affect, amen. The Bible reminds us again in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself," amen. So as Christians, we have to realize how we live our life affects others around us. We must be aware of the circle of the sphere of influence that we do have, amen? You know, some of us watch us. Other younger Christians look at us like watches. They set their watch or they set their life to our example, amen. And we need to be considerate, amen, of what our actions, especially how they're going to affect a weaker brother or sister in Christ. The assembling of ourselves together shows consideration. Now, the next time the devil works on you and tries to keep you out of church, consider the effect you may be having or having on reverend, amen? Right. Now, the devil's going to say, nobody will miss you. Nobody cares if you are not. You're just one person, amen? You know, discouragement. That's what the devil likes to use against us, is discouragement. And he knows it doesn't take a lot for Christians to get discouraged, amen. You know, your being not there may be the final straw for someone to quit. By you not being there, by you not setting the example, amen. So we see then, not only does the assembling of ourselves together show commitment, but it also shows consideration. And thirdly, the assembling of ourselves together shows concern. We go back to Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love. To provoke unto love. When we go to church, we show love or concern one for another. I think this is especially true on Wednesday night, which is usually prayer service night. Usually at prayer service, we get to hear the needs, the concerns of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's probably one of the most important, if not the most important, service of the week. And one of the purposes of prayer services is so we can come together as a family and show concern and comfort the brethren who may be burdened with something. The Bible tells us we're to carry each other's burdens, amen? So we can agonize and intercede in prayer for them. But how can you know what their needs are, what their concerns are, if you don't show up for that prayer service? You know, I like some of these people, well, what were the prayer requests Wednesday night? You know, what were they? You know, and quite often I'll say, well, you need to be there. In a loving way, of course. You need to be there. It loses something, amen, in the translation. You need to be there. You need to hear for yourself the individual concerns, cares, what's on the individual hearts of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, maybe your brother or sister's needs comes known out of this prayer service, and you're led by the Holy Spirit to help that brother or sister in Christ anonymously through the church. Amen. And I stress that anonymously, amen, through the church. Really, the only person that should know should probably be your pastor, amen. That way the person isn't feeling like they owe you anything, but they see that it's truly come from God and from God's people collectively, amen. In the first epistle of John in chapter 4, verse number 21, the Bible tells us, in the commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, you can't go running around telling everybody that you love God and, you know, that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and that you're a Christian and you don't in your heart love your brother or your sister in Christ. Amen. Because if you truly love God, you truly love your brother and sister in Christ. Oh, I know it's hard sometimes. I know there are lists that we have, those that are easy to love and those that are hard to love, amen. But nevertheless, we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we truly love God, it's a byproduct of loving God, truly loving God. The assembling of ourselves together shows not only concern, but is also a catalyst for that concern of love. Verse 24 says again, provoke unto love. Provoke or to excite unto love. In other words, the assembling of ourselves together is like lighting a fire underneath a brother or sister in Christ. You see, the average Christian spends most of his time in the world, involved with the things of the world. Now, some of this involvement is necessary. For example, jobs, our jobs to make a living, to support our families, amen? That's biblically based. But a lot of our involvement with the world is unnecessary. Like spending hours upon hours in front of that boob tube, amen? Allowing the world to come right into our living room. Or unnecessary socializing with the unsaved, amen? What happens is the more time that a Christian spends in the world, is that Christian's love for Christ and the things of Christ grow cold. See, it's like when you take an ember, an individual ember from the fire, that ember grows cold and finally goes out. In other words, it's like the Christian who is separated, amen, who isn't in church like he should be. That Christian soon grows cold in his prayer life, in his Bible reading and studying. He grows cold in his burden for the lost, which is evidenced by his lack of witnessing, amen. Doesn't even have a desire to even want to pass out gospel tracts, never alone speak to someone eyeball to eyeball, amen. So when we assemble together, it provokes us unto love, concern for the things of the Lord. That once dying ember is reunited with the fire of the church members. That once dying Christian spiritually is reunited with the church and becomes ablaze again, amen. But when he becomes isolated, is one lone ember soon grows cold, and out. But it's never too late. Don't let Satan whisper in your ear, amen, that you can't come back, amen. You know, you've stayed out of church too long. People don't want anything to do with you. Come back. If you've been straying from the Lord, come back. It's just like in Luke 15 when the prodigal son returned, the father was so happy to see him, threw his arms around him. That's what the Father will do to you if you'll just come to your senses, amen, and wake up before it's too late, amen. The assembling of ourselves together shows, again, not only commitment, not only consideration, not only concern, but number four, the assembling of ourselves together shows consecration. Consecration. The assembling of ourselves together shows consecration. Verse 24 in Hebrews 10 again says, Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You see that? And to good works. You know, the Lord did not save you so that you could continue in sin and live for the world, the flesh, and the devil. No. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 6 and verse 15, What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. You know, most Christians are familiar what it says in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're very familiar with that, but we're not as familiar, amen, with verse 10. Christians often forget why they were born again or born again for, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 reminds us, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by good works, but after we get saved, we go to work, amen, in a sense. In other words, we're saved, we are consecrated, we are set apart after we are saved unto good works, amen. Why is that, do you ask? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, so God will be glorified. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16 with me. We read, Let your light so shine before men. Why? So they can be impressed by you? So they can see how great you are? No. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're saved unto good works so we can glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen. The Apostle Paul knew the importance of good works in a Christian's life. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul prayed the Colossians would be fruitful in every good work. Amen. Fruitful in every good work. Paul tells us in Titus chapter 2 with me, in verse number 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. A pattern of good works, he says. A pattern, he says. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In other words, a pattern, if you think about it, is something to follow. Amen? Something to follow. Like the ladies follow a pattern in making a dress. Paul lists some of these things that we are to follow as Christians. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The reason that a Christian is to show a pattern of good works in all things is that no one contrary to them, the unsaved, cannot have cause to say anything evil about them. Amen. Our speech should be sound. In some ways, we should be blameless, not sinless, but blameless of a good report. Amen. So no one can point a finger at us and say anything evil against us. We've got some more material to cover in our study on assembling ourselves together. We're going to stop there, and I'll continue our study and finish up our study next time on assembling ourselves together. Amen. I hope that this study will be a blessing to those that are listening. So this is Brother Gino thanking you once again for joining me for the pastor's study. May God richly bless you. Amen. And remember, keep listening for the shout and looking up, because he's coming very soon. Thank you and good day.